We've been in a series called True Grit, and sometimes you just got to dig down deeper than you normally dig. And it's amazing to me whenever I would say that most all of us have problems in life and we go through issues, but it seems like you can always find somebody that goes through a lot harder times than you've gone through, right? Because there's always, it just happens. And I want to talk to you this morning about a guy named Hosea. In the book of Hosea, chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, God asks Hosea to do a difficult thing, and probably as difficult thing as you could ever imagine. So, it's kind of like, And I'm not going to read it to you completely, but you can kind of scan through it. But what it says is basically in Randy Weaver paraphrase. It says, God came to Isaiah and he says, I've got good news and I got bad news for you. And he's like, well, what do you want, the good news or bad? And I'm sure Hosea would say, well, give me the good news, God. And God says, you're getting married. I've picked out a bride for you. And I imagine Hosea, he's like, sweet, cool, get married, get me a wife, like that. What about the bad news? God said, well, the bad news is that she's a prostitute. She's a harlot. And the other bad news, her name's Gomer. I mean, I'm making this up, of course. Yeah. So Isaiah, he's the prophet, and he marries Gomer, and they have children. And the first child's name is, I don't have it memorized, the first child's name is Jezreel, which means God scattered. And this is a message, by the way, to the children of Israel. God had to go to extreme measures to get his message across to Israel. And when and the reason is because sometimes Israel was hard-headed. Sometimes Israel didn't want to hear what God had to say. Sometimes Israel just turned their back on God and served and followed other gods. So this is the case here. So after she gave birth to Jezreel, she had a daughter and named her Lo Rahuma, which means not loved or not pitied, because the people had removed themselves from God's love, and they didn't want anything to do with God. And so she had another son. His name was Lo Ami, which means not my people. And so Hosea and Gomer have these three children. And then God says this in verse 10. It says, yet the Israelites will be scattered like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. You remember, this is a word that God gave to the man Abraham, the father of Israel, if you will. And in the place where he said to them, you are not my people, they will be called the children of God. In the same place where you have scattered out, where you have run from me, where you have removed yourself from my love, he said, there will be people. And the people of Judah, the people of Israel, will come together and they will appoint one leader and will come out of the land, for great will be the day in Jezreel. Now, Gomer's unfaithfulness is a symbol of us. And Hosea's humility in purchasing back his bride is a symbol of Christ's humility to come and to suffer for us. Christ Jesus is and was the most selfless individual to walk on the face of the earth. If I could actually hone down and funnel down to one word that would describe Jesus, I would say that he was selfless. That there wasn't a selfish bone in his body. The most selfless individual to walk on the face of this earth. So Hosea, not wanting to be selfish. He obeyed God and gave this message to Israel through his actions and by marrying Hosea. And we are all, even as his church. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not a message to sinners. Let me rephrase that. This is not a message to people who are not born again. It is a message to sinners. It's a message to the church. And so here we have the prostitute who has prostituted herself from God's chosen people. And she's married. So here, married to Jesus. Because the Bible says that we are the bride of Christ, right? And we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? And it doesn't mean whether you're a born again believer or not. Chances are real good you probably did a little bit of sinning along the way since you got born again. Amen. In case any of y'all just feel super holy out there. Amos is written to the northern kingdom of Israel, telling them that since they've been abandoned God, the Lord will destroy them. God is so displeased with Israel that he's going to kick them out of the land, and that even if there's any left alive to look for him, they won't find him. And the people, they responded to Amos, to his message, the message from God, and told him to shut up and go away, basically. Just say, hey, who asked you here? So Hosea is written to both the northern and the southern kingdom known as Judah. While it contains it contains the same condemnation of sin and promise of cleansing of the land. It includes in it more elements of prophecy relating to the redemption of God's children through Jesus. Both Hosea and Amos put before us the bad news of how sin tears the people of God away from the Creator. And if you've read any of the Old Testament, you've seen it time and time again where God's chosen people removed themselves from the favor of God because they made choices to fall back into the way of old. You remember when they left Egypt, they're like, oh, take us back to Egypt. At least we have three cots and a hut. It just wasn't so hard back then. They didn't remember. Their memory wasn't very good. The good news, however, is that though Israel abandoned God, God came back. Don't forget this. God came back to redeem Israel. So there's always been a disconnect. You remember even in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, it says, God says, where are you? And they said, well, we were afraid and we hid. We were afraid and we hid. We were afraid and we hid. So the disconnect is because of sin. Amen. Y'all help me now. Help me through this, because this is kind of a heavy sermon. And if y'all help me a little bit, I'll do a lot better job. So back there, when the first people walked into this building, the very first thing that they did was they went over to the wall there and they flipped a switch. And what happened was when they flipped that switch, the lights all came on. The power was available for the building, and the building was prepared for the power. But something had to happen. Somebody had to walk in and go, it's dark in here. And turn the switch on, and the lights came on because the building was prepared for the power. When you came to this earth and you were in your mama's womb, God created a place in you. And he gave you the ability to flip the switch, and he prepared your body. He got you all wired up so that you could handle the power of God inside of you. Yes. But you have to make the choice and you have to make the decision to turn the switch on. Not everybody does it. Not everybody wants the power of God in their lives. Now, my brother, this past week, he spent the night in the emergency room, and he did a stress test, and he flunked the stress test, and they did an angiocardiogram. I think that's what it's called. I'm not a doctor. And they found out that he has blocked arteries. The main artery that goes into his heart was blocked. 90% of it was blocked. There was other arteries, two of them 60%, one of them 70%. And there was one in the back of his heart that was completely clogged, and the heart had rerouted itself. And the doctors use this term. He says, the heart healed itself. No, God healed that heart. The great healer healed the heart. Amen. So, but when something's cut off, if there's something cut off inside of us that connects us with God, something, maybe somebody cut in on you and you blame God for it, or maybe things didn't turn out the way you wanted. Let me read to you. Anybody have something turn out the way you didn't want it turned out, and you're like, what am I, chopped liver? I don't get this. I don't know why that happened to me. How do you think Hosea felt? So turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 15. I want to talk about covenant for a second, about our covenant with God. And this is the same God that Hosea had his covenant with. And the reason that he obeyed God was because he wasn't afraid to have a covenant with God. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and he said, do not be afraid. Let me just say this to you today. Don't be afraid. In the garden, Adam and Eve sinned, and they were afraid. It says, we hid ourselves because we were afraid. They had experienced all of God's love, and then all of a sudden, fear stepped in. Did you know the opposite of love is not hate? The opposite of love is fear. You think about it. Fear and love is like oil and water. It's like when you turn that switch on, that switch, the power is going to overcome the darkness every time. Darkness never wins out over light. Darkness always leaves when light comes. And when God shows up, the light of the world, we either grow accustomed to it or we are offended by the light. Oh, turn that off. So the word of the Lord came to Abram saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? Sounds like us, doesn't it? Here's God telling him who he is. God's telling Abraham who he is to Abraham. And Abraham's saying, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless. It was a big deal back in that day to go childless. And there, the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. Abraham was zeroed in on one thing when God was zeroed in and much bigger things for Abraham. But Abraham had just human thinking when God had God-like expectation. He wanted to put his extraordinary on Abraham's normal. He says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, this one shall not be your heir, but one who comes from your own body will be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And Abraham said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? And it seems to me like Abraham is making it all about him. When God's making it all about God's plan for him and God's plan for Israel, God has a much bigger plan for us. But if we continually make it about me, we will never understand that God has bigger plans than just you. It's very true. Very, very true. Well, what about, how will I know? How will I know? Well, finally, God got it into Abraham, and he said that God accounted it as righteousness. And you read about Abraham. Abraham messed up a lot of stuff. But God maintained through Abraham's life, and God really, really blessed Abraham, and he was obedient to the word that he gave Abraham. Sometimes in spite of him. Stay with me. I'm still going to come back to old Gomer here in a minute. And Abraham says, how will I know? And so he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, and a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And then he brought all of these to him and cut them in two down to the middle, down the middle, and placed each piece opposite each other, but he did not cut the birds in two. Why am I bringing this passage up? The people of God turned away from him, and before reconciliation can happen, can take place between the parties, something has to be done. If a relationship is severed or cut off, something has to reconnect. There has to be a switch. So here's what God said. He said in verse 12, it says, as the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Okay, so get the picture. God's trying to get a message into Abraham. And so God says, hey, go get these animals, cut them in half, lay them on. Now, what that is, back in that day, they would, if there was an agreement that one person had with another person, God had designed this, that they would cut an animal in half. They butcher him and cut the sides of the animal, and they put one side on one side. And the covenant, if I would have a covenant with you that I would pay you a certain amount of money, instead of writing it down like we do today and we get it notarized and we sign it, what they would do back then, they would cut a covenant and they would walk between the two halves of the slaughtered animal. And they would say, make a statement that if I fail to keep my side of the covenant, that the very same thing that has happened to this animal will happen to me. See, what they're saying is my word is my bond. So my question to you is, what are you bound to? Gomer, she was bound to prostitution. She had committed adultery on Hosea many, many times. The church, Randy Weaver, we have, you ain't gonna like this. We have all sinned. Amen. We are the bride of Christ. We are God's bride. The scripture says, Hosea represented Jesus, the one who knew no sin. We represent Gomer, the one who got big problems. We have all sinned, come short of the glory of God. So we got a bond here. Something's happening here with this sacrifice. Let me go back to this sacrifice. Stay right there. Verse 17, darkness came over the earth. It says, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces on that day, the Lord, everybody say the Lord. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Now, it doesn't say that Abraham made a covenant with God, that God and Abraham walked through this, but that God walked through the covenant and made a covenant relationship with Abraham, what was Abraham doing? Y'all remember? He was sleeping. You weren't even created yet when God cut covenant with you on the cross. You didn't know nothing about it because you had not. But God looked ahead in time and he saw somebody that would transgress against his law. And he knew that you weren't going to keep your promise. My name's Randy Weaver. I've made promises and I didn't keep them to God. Y'all don't look so holy on me out there. You're making me feel bad. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God that God has for us. So God says, hey, I'm going to cut a covenant with you, Abraham. And even though I know you're going to mess up, I'm not going to mess up. I can walk through it and I can make a covenant with you because I am God Almighty and I will never change. I will never sin against you. I will always keep my covenant with you, and I will send my only begotten son so that he can be the supreme sacrifice for your sin. The one who knew no sin became our sin so that we could have a covenant with the Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We could come into his presence because he cut covenant with us Gomer people. People don't like to hear that. But listen, when we realize how far we have fallen in comparison to how wonderful and perfect God is, we will all hunker up at the foot of the cross and we will just say, thank you, Jesus, for your selflessness. Just like Hosea was selfless, you are even more selfless because you gave your life for us, the perfect sacrifice. Life was severed in the Lamb of God so that we could have covenant with the Father. The King of Kings. You can come into the King's presence anytime you want to. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a high priest to be able to talk to God. There's an old saying. You remember in the old days of the kings, you couldn't approach the king. I mean, you had to have clout and you had to have permission to come into the presence of the king. And if the king didn't like you, all he had to do is drop his scepter and they'd take you outside and cut your head off. I mean, pretty serious stuff. We got it pretty good. So in the Lord's Prayer, after Jesus died on the cross, the greatest gift, make no mistake, the greatest gift that you and I have is access to God. Yes. And how often do we take advantage of that gift? How often do we pray? How often do we run to God? So in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, our Father, we've been adopted, right? We're the bride of Christ, right? So we say, he said, pray after this in this manner. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now in that phrase there's a word in there that means, and this is it'll mess up some of your theology. There's a word in there that means irreverence. And back then, they needed to understand that it wasn't like those kings ran their kingdom. It was how God ran his kingdom. Not disrespect. Because a lot of times, we confuse being comfortable. Like, you come into my house, and I invite you to come into my house. I want you to go to the refrigerator and get whatever you want. I want you to get your, you know, you just make yourself at home. We always say that, right? So here's God. He says, I'm not like the kings that you have to go to, and they're just like harsh kings. He says, I'm like, y'all come into my house, and if you want to go to the refrigerator, help yourself. He said, all that I have is yours anyway. I've prepared a place for you, and I really want you to enjoy what I've prepared for you. So you come in, you have access, and you don't have to be reverent like all these other people and all these other kings say you got to be reverent. Just come on in my house. Just don't worry about all the hoopla and the all the rules and the regulations and stuff. Just come in and enjoy yourself. Because I've cut covenant. And sin separates, but a covenant gives access. So this weekend I'm going over to went up to Fort Worth, they have a Mustang challenge, and there's a girl in the church that did the Mustang challenge. She got a Mustang, and I went and saw Russ, obviously, because he's going to have surgery tomorrow on his heart, open heart surgery, so keep him in your prayers. But, so I go up to this Mustang challenge, and what they do, the ones that take the challenge, they go and they redeem this Mustang from the wild up in Nevada and Wyoming. They just run wild out there, and they never seen a person before until these people come and trap them, run them in. And they give these trainers 100 days with these horses, and then they have this competition up there. It's really interesting because some of them don't want to be there. Some of them are like, you know, and they're and they got them where they can ride them. Most of them, some of them, one of them just walked in the gate and he looked around and she had to get off her and walk her out. And some of them just not doing it. Then there were some of them I was amazed. Just right at peace, because the trainer had brought peace to some of them, and that they had accepted that peace, and they realized, listen to this, that they were better off with this person who was their master than they were out in the wild. Now, the natural thing for a Mustang to do that has never been touched before, if you would just walk in a pen with them, try to pick their foot up, they would kick your head off. The reason is because they have bonded not with the master, but they had bonded with the wild. And they have bonded with the things that very well could destroy them. They've bonded in a place where they're not nourished. They're bonded in a place where they're not taken care of. They bonded in a place where they didn't have proper care. But the reason they wanted to come back here is because they had grown accustomed to this, and this was all they knew. That's right. I don't know if we got anybody out there that's addicted to something. Don't raise your hand if you are. It's no. But another word for addiction is a bond. You see, Jesus said, this is the way, walk in it, and this is what I have for you. But many times, like Gomer, we're like, And so the thing that we've bonded with in the past, whether it be anger or tobacco or alcohol. It's like our go-to when, I gotta have a cigarette. I feel better now. Because we bonded to that. Instead of letting God have us and being bonded with Him, it's like there's always this tug. Anybody with me out there yet? There's always this tug. It's just like, anger, bitterness, strife, pornography. It's just like, I just need to get away. Are we going to bond? What are we going to bond with? I just don't want to be here. See, sometimes it takes discipline if in order for us to really be blessed. God blesses those who are faithful to his commandments. Amen? I mean, it's just, there's a blessing there, and the blessing comes, and what God knows that we don't know is that over there is death, because the switch has been turned off, and the artery has been severed, and there's just death over there. Because sin cuts off life. You might want to write that down. Sin cuts off life. So these Mustangs, they got a lot to work through because of their history. I dare say everybody here has something to work through. Amen. Because of your history. And there's probably a lot of us that have accepted certain things that God says, hey, and we're like those Mustangs. We don't want to be there. But if we'll stay in, we'll continue in the process and embrace the process of being broken. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? It means those who have been broken, not their spirit broken, but their will broken. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Thy will be done on earth as you have planned it in heaven. So when my will is broken, then God's will happens. But as long as I'm looking and I'm bonded to the bondage of my past and the bondage of, see like Gomer, she's like, she didn't even care. And God said, that's the way Israel was. And he says, sometimes that's the way we are. Because we want God on our own terms. We want to make up our own Bible. And we go like, well, I'm going to do this and this, but I'm there's one thing over here. You just stay out of my life, God. And see, that's what happens here with Gomer. She's like, hey, I'm going to be a prostitute whether I'm married or not. Did you notice that Hosea didn't divorce her, by the way? What would you do? What would you do if you were like married to someone that, like, you know, all the time? So we're the bride of Christ. And a lot of times we're like, you know, all the time. And God's like, hey, I'm here for you. And I'm going to bless you when you get all that out of your system. But you got to embrace the process. I just want to make sure I got most of it in. I didn't know why, and I was just thinking about this just now. I don't know why the air and the sky turned black when God made his covenant with Abraham. No more than I know why the sky turned black when God made his covenant with us. Because you remember when Jesus died on the cross, the sky turned black at 3:00 in the afternoon. You all remember that? Do you think it's hard for God to look on our sin? Do you think it's hard for him to, when we continue to go on doing things that, I mean, Abraham, it's interesting, even on down in that same chapter, it said Abraham believed God and God accounted it to Abraham as righteousness. Now, if you read anything about Abraham, you'll know that he was, in many ways, he was kind of a weak man. But I believe that God looked on his heart, and God kept his heart healthy. And I want to just say this. I've not said this in these other services, but my challenge to you today, you personally today, is to guard your heart. Sometimes your actions aren't what they need to be, but if you'll guard your heart, your actions will eventually, they'll follow your heart. Our heart can be deceptively wicked, the scripture says. And so guarding our heart is one of the most difficult things to do, because too many times we just want to gravitate to a hard heart because we've been hurt so much. We want to gravitate to an angry heart because things didn't go our way. Maybe our parents didn't do what we asked them to do, or maybe we're just like, you don't know the marriage I'm in. You're right, I don't know, but God does. That's why we need him so bad. So, have you ever made this statement? Boy, I'm sure glad that season of life is over. You ever said that? Because, I mean, you go through life and man, sometimes it's just hard. And you're like, man, I'm glad that's over. And I can imagine Hosea, you know, after he'd gone through the deal with the kids are grown, and Gomer, she's off, gone. And I imagine Hosea, he's like,
that was rough.
And it says, say God spoke to Hosea again. And he said, Hosea. Imagine Hosea just said, yes, Lord. Like he always does, you know. Homer, she's on the auction block on the other side of town. She's now an over the hill prostitute. Nobody wants her. Hosea, I want you to go get your wife. Bring her home. Hosea walks to the auction and he bids for Gomer. And it's not hard to buy her because nobody else is bidding for her. Nobody else wants her. And he buys her on sale, half price. She comes down off the auction block, not understanding at all why Hosea would come back for her. And he takes her by the arm in front of all the people talking about her, in front of all the people, the preacher, the prophet, takes his bride home and he lives with her for the rest of his life. How could you not serve a God like that? How could you just say, well, I don't know. No. For God so loved the world. I don't understand it. God cut a covenant with you and I. When will we wake up and honor that covenant with him and turn the light on and let the power of God come in? and be a part of us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thanks for helping us. Oh, we can't comprehend. We just can't comprehend this, Lord Jesus. That you love us so much. That you love us so much. That you actually gave up your life as the ultimate sacrifice. Thank you, Father, that you raised Jesus from the dead because of our sins. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us, cheering us on. Help us, Lord, not to be bonded with the sins and the addictions of our past, but Lord, to come into your presence, and may we have that bond with you for the rest of our lives, and to love you because of who you are and because of what you've done. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. I hope there's no question in your mind of God's intentional love for you. The scripture says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God, but it also says that if we would confess our sins, and that he would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the first step in knowing God and the first step in coming into his kingdom is inviting him into your life. Jesus is never going to make you serve him. He's never going to make you do the right thing, no more than he made Gomer do the right thing. We all have to humble ourselves at the foot of the cross and say, God, I thank you for making that sacrifice for me. I know I'm not perfect, but I need you, Jesus. I need a Savior. I need a Lord. So if you've never invited him to come into your heart, maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Slip your hand up high. Anybody. Preacher, that's me. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody. Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Doesn't matter how many church services you've been in, where you grew up in church or not, you must make the decision to let Jesus be your Lord. Anybody? Preacher, that's me. Anybody? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I trust, stand with me, please. I trust that we all have invited him into our hearts. If not, we'd love to pray with you after church. You see, the kingdom of God is not made up of perfect people. It's made up of people who have made a decision to follow Christ to the best of their abilities and to humble themselves, because, you see, selfless people put God first. Selfless people put others first. This is the conviction that comes in me, because I can be selfish at times. Anybody with me? Raise your hand if you can be a little selfish. Everybody raise your hand. But the problem, and this is the revelation that I got this week. The problem is what I have bonded to. Because my bond says I need to be selfish because I am my own resource. Instead of bonding to God and say, God, you are my only resource, and then letting him have his way. Because even in losing, we win. I'm ready to lose some stuff. God put a word, and I know I'm rambling. I know it's late, but this is just eating me up. God put a word in me at the beginning of this year, and it's a tough word for me. But I feel like I didn't say this in Mother's services because we was like late. I'm going to tell you, the word that God put in me is to be still and know that I am God. I have a problem being still before God. When I want to escape, I get in front of the TV. That way I don't have to think. Anybody with me? I said I get in front of the TV. And I don't have, I, my mind just, so I got some work to do personally to be still in the presence of God. I don't know what your word is, but I know that He has one for you. And the answer to being still, the answer to any addiction that we have is having faith in God, trusting Him that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Not be like Abraham. Oh, how will I know? What's going on? Wow. Hey, trust Him. Just trust Him. Get rid of the baggage and just trust Him. But the key is love. We're talking about gritty love today. Loving God in a gritty way. When we're uncomfortable with some things, just like Hosea was uncomfortable, I'm sure. But we don't need bondage to the things that separates us and cuts off our relationship with God. That sin is what does it. So how many, and it's a love deal. So how many say, preacher, I needed this morning, and I need to love God in a much more healthy way. Raise your hand. I just think that's the key. Let's raise both of our hands, and if you didn't raise your hand, it won't hurt you to raise your hand anyway, because we can all love God more, right? Everybody repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to You. Everything I am, everything I hope to be, I put aside the sin that separates me from You. From this day forward, please help me in my covenant with You. Thank You for loving me in my sin. Now, I give my life to You again. I love You, Jesus. Thank You for loving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I smell victory. I think it's a good day. Thank you all. God bless you. Listen, this week, walk in love. Walk in love. We got our prayer team up here. If you need special prayer, if you'd like to come down and spend some time at the altar, we'd love to have you. That won't cost nothing. It's free.